couple of weeks of winding down, of taking territory, and what it means for us to have a call, for us to be stepping into a place that God has for us. How many of you know that every single one of us has some place that God has called us to fill? It may not necessarily be a geographical piece of land, but it may be a place as far as what God has called us to do. Amen? How many of you know every person has a purpose here? And that purpose is your territory. Whether it's your business, or whether it's you're a teacher, or whether you work in the oil field, or whether you work in an office, no matter what you do, that God has a territory, a place, and a purpose for you to step into fullness. That He desires to use you for the kingdom to make a difference. And we have been talking about this over the last many weeks. And today I wanted to talk a little bit, just kind of take a different angle on it. This morning, let me ask you a question. How many of you know that sometimes new territory requires somebody to cut a path? Right? How many of you have ever had the privilege of ever having to clear land? Right? It's hard work, isn't it? Yeah? Even this week, I don't have a lot of land to clear in my house, but I was even in the backyard cutting up some roots, and I had to take my brother-in-law's axe out there, which I stole from him. And I promised him I'm going to give it back. He's sitting up in the booth right now. But, you know, it's one of those things where it came to my house to do a project and it never left, right? So I was in the backyard, and it was really funny because I even knew I was going to be preaching a message about clearing ground and what it means to clear ground and to cut a path. And here I was, I'm swinging this axe, and I'm swinging it, and I'm swinging it. How many of you know, how many of you have swung an axe before? I found out that I'm not as good at swinging an axe now as I was 10 years ago. For some reason, I don't remember having to breathe that hard after the fact. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and give this the mighty Thor, you know, smash on this next one. I'm going to get through this root just to have that thing go dink right into the wood. I'm like, what is wrong with me? This is not right. This is taking effort. This is taking some intentionality. I mean, I'm having to be really focused here. I'm having to work. And how many of you know trying to do that with the wrong equipment doesn't work? Right? How many of you ever tried to swing a blunted axe? You know that you're not going to get too far with that thing, are you? You're going to do a whole lot of work, but you're not going to see a whole lot of progress. And I think sometimes in our life, I think what happens is we're going through life trying to clear the ground, but we're doing it with a blunted axe. And we're putting in a lot of effort, and we're putting in a lot of work, and we're swinging our little hearts out, but we're not going anywhere. We're not making any progress. It's almost like the harder I work, the more tired I get, but I don't see any fruit or effect. Has anybody ever been there before? Yeah? How many of you know that is a frustrating place in life to be? But also, how many of you know that that's not where God designed us to be? Amen? You guys okay this morning? I have found in life, it is better to work smarter than harder. Right? We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Let's look in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. This is going to be our key phrase. And we're going to say this. It says, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom, say wisdom, or some translations say skill, brings success. How many of you have ever been in a situation in your life where you were just swinging that axe to your heart's content? You were working hard, but you didn't seem like you were going anywhere. And then you found yourself in a position where you were like, I just don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do from here. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to keep beating this blunted axe head against this tree and just pray something happens. Come on. How many of you know you might make a little progress, but you're going to wear out long before the tree does? You guys okay? See, what needs to be happening in our life is we need to be working with an urgency for the things of God, but we also need to be working with an efficiency for the things of God. See, too often we're not working efficiently to the things that God has called us to do. We're wasting energy and we're wasting time on things that don't matter. Come on. When God has clearly called us to do this one thing, and that we need to be doing it with efficiency, with skill, and with a sense of urgency. How many of you know Noah built the ark with a sense of urgency and commitment? But what was the purpose of the ark? The purpose of the ark was meant to save lives and preserve life. Amen? Do you know that the things that God called you to do are no different than the call that he placed on Noah? That every call that God sends out is for the purpose of saving and preserving life. Did you guys know that? I mean, no, you're a lifesaver. You're a lifesaver. That's what you're called to do. Everything that you're called to do in your life is for the purpose of seeing people brought into the life-saving power of the kingdom of God. Come on, are you awake today? Yeah? If you really want to know what God's plan is for you, that's it. So how devoted would you have been to build with urgency, to with excellence and commitment if you would have had Noah's job? Now, listen, there's nobody in here that was Noah. But you're called to build with your life, and you're also called to save lives. Are we willing to dedicate our life to clear the ground, to cut the path, and to build with excellence so that God can use our life to construct a place of salvation for people? See, the ground that God is calling you to clear, the path he's calling you to clear, is not so you can go in and enjoy the fruit of it by yourself. You're cutting a path so that others may follow through, so that others may come with, so that the generations behind us don't have to clear the same ground. Amen? They've got enough ground to clear. They don't need to do ours and theirs. Amen? I used to like to say it this way. You got to kill all the giants in your land. Don't leave them for the generation behind you. Right? And I'm going to tell you what. I mean, you guys know we love our teenagers and our kids, right? Man, these guys are awesome. But I'm going to tell you what. They got enough giants. They got enough big things that they're going to have to deal with in this society and in this community. I want to tell you something right now. What you have to face coming up, none of us have ever had to face before. You have some things that you're going to have to handle. You got some giants you're going to have to kill in your culture and in your generation that we have no idea how to get rid of. It's up to you. But you are equipped to do what God called you to do. And you are called to exceed us and go past us in every way possible for the kingdom of God. Amen? You can do it. And we're going to cheer you on. But what our commitment is we're going to make certain we're going to clear the ground and for you so you don't have to do our work for us. Come on, is that okay? Never leave your work to the next generation. That's good stuff. If that doesn't motivate you to get doing something, come on. So anyway, in order for us to do that, we have to work with efficiency. We have to work with skill. We have to work with commitment. And I want to address the issues of efficiency for God and the urgency to find out how we can sharpen our lives in serving him. And that's what I want to talk about today. Efficiency is doing things right. Right? Efficiency is doing things right. Effectiveness is doing the right thing. Not only do we have to do the right thing, we've got to do it the right way. And that requires us to have a dependence upon God. And how effective are we for God in measurable ways in our life? How many of you know when you're chopping down a tree, you can measure your success? You can measure the distance you have gone. You can see the effect. Amen? And I think likewise, we should be able, maybe not right away, but we should be able, as we give ourselves to the things of God, we should be able to see the effect of what God is doing in us and through us in some way. Amen? Maybe not the whole picture, but I believe God wants us to keep swinging the axe. Amen? So how can we see increased effectiveness for God? To be effective and efficient for God, sometimes we need sharpening. Sometimes we need sharpening. How many of you know axes become dull? Right? They become dull. As a matter of fact, if you have to understand, you got to keep up with it, there's a reason you have to sharpen your axe. How many of you ever carry a pocket knife with you? Okay, how many of you use a kitchen knife? How many of you know knives become dull? The edge of a knife becomes dull. I mean, we've had these, see my wife, oh, by the way, she says hi, she's working in the nursery today. So she's not home or anything. She's out with the baby, you know, having fun with the kids. She got bored of me and wanted to go hang out back there, I guess, so. When we got married, my wife comes from a family of butchers, right? Like I'm not even kidding, like straight off the boat, German butchers. Their last name, her maiden name, literally means butcher. I'm not even making that up. Her maiden name is Metzger. The German word for a butcher is Metzgerei. All right? So she comes from a long line of butchers. So when we got married, her family gave us like the nicest knives. Like we were broke as a joke, but we had some great kitchen knives. And no matter how good those knives were, they were pure German stainless steel. I mean, they were the best you could get. They were the commercial quality. They were the best. Like every butcher would say, I want those. And we had them. But how many of you know that no matter how good they are, after time of repeated use, they tend to dull. And you have to take care of them. You've got to sharpen them. There's upkeep involved. Right? So her dad, whenever he comes in, I'm very embarrassed whenever he comes to visit because I'm in charge of sharpening the knives at home. And I think the last time he came home, he could barely, with our best knife, barely, you know, it's like it was smushing the tomato as he was cutting it. How many of you know your edge has a problem if the tomato turns into ketchup when you're cutting it? Right? And, you know, I bought all these fancy things to try to make sure to take care of him. But he would walk in and he would grab the thing and he'd do his whole. And that thing would cut through like cinder blocks after that. And I was like struggling working with these things, but he knew what to do. He knew how to sharpen them efficiently. He knew how to use his skill. He could bring an edge to that thing that, I kid you not, like you just get near it and it would cut you. But that comes from, and he didn't have to work anywhere near as hard. I'm like, he literally did it in 30 seconds. There is something about knowing what you're doing that helps us to be effective in our purpose. You guys okay? And so even the best of blades become dull over time and over use. And the thing is that's just part of life. That's just what happens. It can, if it's used a long time or if it's used in the wrong way or for the wrong purpose, how many of you know, no matter how good your knife is, you don't want to use it, right, to cut up bricks, to break rocks. You know that's going to damage it, correct? So when we find in our lives that the edge of our efficiency for God is not what it should be, you can't just throw it out. You've got to sharpen it. And you can't beat yourself up when these areas of our lives become dull because it's part of a cycle of a life of an axe. They just become dull. Now, see, we live in a very disposable society, don't we? Right? How many of you know that our parents and our grandparents especially did not come from, and our great-grandparents, they didn't come from a disposable society. If something was, you know, wasn't working right, what did you do? You fixed it. Right? You brought it back again. You know, you sharpened it. You don't, you know, imagine how disposable we've become in life. Well, you know, that edge is dull. I guess I'll just throw it out and get a new one. And every knife company says hooray to that, right? No, you don't do that. You sharpen it, don't you? Because I don't know if you notice, those things are expensive. They're not cheap. But we've come into an idea where we have a disposable mindset, where we say things, well, this is no longer working for me. I'm just going to throw it out. You know how where that comes in? Things like this. Well, I tried church. And I started out great. But at some point, it just quit working for me, so I threw it out. That's a disposable mentality. Come on. Come on, you guys hearing me? Well, I tried to serve God. I tried to do what he called me to do, but at some point it quit being effective. At some point it became challenging. At some point I feel like I was doing all this work and nothing was happening. So you know what I did? I just quit. I threw it out. Guys, we cannot have that disposable mentality when it comes to the things and the purposes of God. The call of God is not a paper plate. It is not a paper plate there for your convenience because you just don't want to do dishes. That is my house, by the way. Come on, you guys hear what I'm saying? But too often we treat the purposes and the things of God as almost as like they're disposable. We can just throw them out when we get tired of them, and we can't do that. The call of God is not that way. Somebody say amen. So what do we do? Well, what we tend to do is when we get to this position, we start panicking and we start working harder. How many of you know if you keep swinging that dull axe at the base of that tree, you're just going to wear yourself out? You're just going to tire yourself out. You're going to burn out. Is this okay? You can't do that. So when we know how many blows are required to topple this tree to take it down, and it takes double that time, you can go ahead and guess that the edge of your axe is blunted. And most people tend to swing harder when they don't see breakthrough or the required productivity. But the secret in pursuing greater effectiveness for God is not working harder, but it's working smarter and closer with God. We tend to fall back on our own efforts. If I just keep working harder, and God's like, oh, hold up, wait a minute. Something needs to be sharpened in your life before we can go any further. And see, the duller the axe, the greater power required to see any effect. Right? How many of you know that on Friday, as I was cutting in the backyard, there was a point where I came to the end of my own strength? And that point came way faster than I expected. But at some point, our power runs out. And that's where we need to be effective in God's way. See, discernment will tell you something is wrong. And if that tree is still standing after 1,000 strikes, come on. That's when you probably should go, I think my axe is dull. I've been beating my head against this wall and nothing's happening. Perhaps I am going about this the wrong way. And the first thing you need to do is, ready? Pause. See, our tendency says work harder, but sometimes you just have to pause for a second. Is this okay? You have to pause for purpose. There is a reason why we pause. You have to stop and take and inspect the edge. How many of you know sometimes it's good to inspect your life? Sometimes it's good to take a pause and inspect things going on. You guys okay today? The edge can only be inspected once the activity has ended. So here's what my information to you. Don't ever try to inspect an edge of an axe in motion. It's a bad idea. Is this okay? I'm going to go ahead and keep swinging this axe. You know, why don't you, Jared, why don't you go ahead and look at the edge for me while I'm doing this? How many of you know that's the way somebody gets hurt? That's right. And he would do it for me. I know he would. But I would slow down for him because, you know, I love him and I don't want anything bad to happen to him. You guys okay? But you can't inspect it while it's in motion. Sometimes you have to pause. And then you have to begin to inspect it, and you have to stop and allow God to take a look at these areas in our life. And the sharpening process starts with pausing. You have to look, inspect, and then proceeding to the place where we plan and put things in place, systems in place, strategically implementing, making adjustments, and then persistence can happen again. See, what we tend to do is we just want to power through it all the time. But sometimes we have to pause for a second. Now listen, I'm not saying God calls you on a call and you pause and then 6 years later you're going to pick it back up again. I'm talking about you pause and you give time for God to do some inspection. And then you put a plan in place. And then persistence can start again. Sometimes we pause to be more effective. Is this okay? All right. So how do we sharpen the axe? And I'm going to move through these things quickly today. First one, you have to be teachable. You have to be teachable. I'm going to tell you the hardest person that we find, and nobody in here does this, so I feel free saying this as pastor. But when somebody says to me, oh, I know that. Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm happy for you. Why is it not working in your life then? Oh, I know that already, Pastor. I know that. I know you do. But are you doing it? The moment you say, I know that already, you have closed yourself down from being teachable in any way. All right? How many of you ever coached sports? Anybody ever had a coach? All right? How many of you guys know coaches love it when players come up to them and say, listen, I already know everything about sport. I know what to do. Right? How many of you know that person is not coachable and they will play for themselves and they will end up costing you? Right? They will not see the type of success they need to see. But the best player on your team is the one who comes in and says, tell me how, coach. Tell me what you need done. You guys have heard this story. I know Pastor Greg used to like to share it a lot, but the greatest thing that ever happened for coaches across the world was back when Tiger Woods, before he fell off the cliff, but back when Tiger Woods, when he was the number one in the world, at some point he was unbeatable. You guys remember that back in the day? Like he was unbeatable. He was unstoppable. And then what he did was is he went back and he found a new coach and he said, change my entire swing to make me better. You know, probably Tiger Woods was probably pretty okay at that point saying, hey, it's good. I've got this thing figured out. Yet even he went and said, give me somebody who can teach me more. So we have to remain teachable in life, allowing ourselves to be coached. Amen? And then we have to be able to implement the things that we've learned and to be able to try new things. Well, you know what stops that type of thinking is when people say, well, we've never done it that way before. Well, if you want what you've always got, keep doing what you've always done. But when it's time to take new territory, sometimes you have to do things differently, which is exactly why the church needs to be encouraging young people. Come on. Because they're going to be able to do things that we've never had the capacity to do. And so it's important for us in church and as a culture to celebrate our youth, to celebrate our children. Even when they come and they do things and we're like, well, we wouldn't have done it that way. Well, guess what? You don't have to take the territory they do. What you had to do worked for you. Quit trying to tell them. It's like Saul saying to David before he went and fought Goliath, here's my armor, wear it like me, do it like me, walk out there like me. And David says, this doesn't fit me. And then David said, no, Saul, it's cool. I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to take my slingshot and go out there and fight Goliath. And Saul's up there going, you're a dead man. It'll never work. You can't do it. We've never done it that way before. And yet here we are cowering. Yet David walked out there, and you guys know my saying here. Goliath didn't know he was a dead man walking. Everybody thinks David was the underdog, but David brought a gun to a knife fight. He never even had to get within 100 yards of Goliath to kill him. Isn't that awesome? Saul would have ran out there and got himself killed. but it wasn't Saul's battle to take. It was David's. Come on, you guys okay? So David had to do things the way God instructed him to do it. How many of you know it took courage? Amen? So we have to be courageous. And then the next thing we have to do is we have to keep ourselves with the right company. You become like those who you spend the most time with. Character transfers. It rubs off. And, you know, it's what we call the law of association. So we have to surround ourselves with wise friends, people who will teach us wisely. We have to surround ourselves with people who help sharpen our lives to make us more effective for God, and people who carry themselves in a way that trusts God and says all things are possible. Amen? You say, Pastor James, are you saying the power of positive thinking? Yeah, kind of. But I mean it this way, the power of positively believing that God can do all things. See, that's different than believing it's about my ability. It's about believing it's about His. You guys good? You know, Proverbs 27:17, and you knew I was going to get here. As iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. Right? You knew this was going to happen. You knew we were going to come to this verse. See, we need to sometimes avoid people who only tell us what we want to hear. We need to sometimes avoid people who avoid conflict. Especially conflict when there's something to be said that can improve your efficiency in your life for God. What do I mean by this? You have to have people in your life who are willing to look you in the eye and say, you're wrong. They are gifts from God. Now listen, I'm not talking about somebody who's coming in against the things of God. I'm talking about trusted friends that you know that are serving the Lord. The Lord is moving in their life. You have to have people that you are spiritually accountable with that can say to you, you're wrong, and you not get all bent out of shape about it. We are a culture that is too easily given to offense. Right? And you cannot be sharpened unless you're going to allow for a little resistance. How many of you have ever seen an axe or a knife sharpened? Right? How many of you know when you do that, it grinds. It creates spark, doesn't it? You know, it creates a little friction, a little tension, a little heat, doesn't it? That's okay. Work is being done. Right? You know what's interesting as well? You know what that those sparks are. It's also energy. That's created energy. Amen? I am thankful for the people in my life that love me enough to tell me when I'm wrong, to correct me for the purpose of God. Those are some of the best people you can have. You know, and I used to tell the youth all the time, if everybody agrees with you 100% on everything, find new friends, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. Stick with the ones that will call you out on your stupid. In Jesus' name. No, seriously. Stick with the ones who will tell you when you're getting off the track. Guys, we need those type of people in our life, and they need to be people who we trust, who are rooted and founded in the Word of God. And as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Somebody say amen. And we have to obey. We have to obey and implement what God says and put into practice what our wise counsel says and our wise teachers say. We have to apply God's word, and wise advice sharpens the axe. And even if the axe lies right next to the grinding stone for hours, it does not mean that it will get sharpened. You can't just go and say, I'm going to sharpen the axe, and here's the grindstone, and I'm going to set the axe near it. How many of you know it's not until you apply the axe to the stone that sharpening happens? Not until you apply wisdom to your life does skill come. not until you apply truth to your life. You can be around truth. You can tiptoe around it. You can tiptoe around good ideas. But it's not until you apply the biblical principle that you see effect. Nothing sharpens until we obey to do what is and implement what God is telling us to do. We can walk around it all day long. Man, I tell you what, you can leave that axe there for 200 years. And somebody 200 years later will walk in and pick that axe up and say, this can't cut a thing. But it's been sitting next to the grindstone for 200 years, but it was never applied. And we have a lot of people walking around pursuing the things of God like that. They're walking around saying, I've been at church my whole life. I've been around Christians my whole life, but you've never applied the Word of God. You never did what you were supposed to do. But I thought, you know, spiritually, I thought if I just be around that this would happen. No, at some point, there has to be a practicality to faith. At some point, there has to be obedience put to faith. At some point, you've got to do what he told you to do. And if you don't, it doesn't matter how much you pray. It doesn't matter how much you read your word. It doesn't matter how much you walk around church. It doesn't matter how many hours you serve in the nursery. It doesn't matter. It's about the application of what we know and what God has spoken to us. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You have to at some point say, yes, Lord. Amen? See, that's why so many people are not walking in the effectiveness that God has called them to walk in, is because they're dancing around things, but they're not putting the axe head to the grindstone. And nothing gets sharpened that way. You okay? You guys good? Seem like I'm stepping on your toes today. I promise I love you. That's why I'm telling you this. See, the iron and the stone have to connect. And this causes friction that gives an axe its edge. Some people avoid this because of the possibility of conflict. Things can become a bit heated. The sparks can fly. I've said that. It's the same when sharpening for efficiency. Don't avoid sharpening because you're afraid of conflict or criticism. What will people think? Anybody ever said that? If I obey God, what will people think? Who cares? They probably don't think much of you anyway. And what does it matter? Do you want to do what God called you to do or not? Then I'm going to tell you, the moment you say yes to Jesus, you say no to everybody else's opinion. It doesn't matter what people think of me. Listen, I'm going to tell you guys something. It doesn't matter what you think of me. Do I want you to like me? Sure I do. I'm human. But I have found out within the first 30 days of being a senior pastor, not everybody's going to like me. No matter how well-intentioned I am, no matter how good I try to be to people, no matter the best decisions that I make, no matter how much time I give, there are just some people that are just not going to like you. And I know that's hard for you to imagine because you're lovely. I'm a delight. I think I'm a treasure. So humble. But when we obey God, somebody's going to be displeased. And the question is who are you concerned about pleasing? I'm not asking you any question I don't have to ask myself every single day. When I make this decision, I'm going to make some people mad. But who am I living my life to please? Some of us are afraid of conflict. And I get that. I understand. My wife hates conflict. I probably like it a little too much, which is why we balance out fairly well. I mean, I think conflict's fun. Like, really fun. I'm okay with it. I don't mind arguing. My wife hates it. She can't stand it. Unless it's with me. I've never understood that one. She doesn't mind slapping me upside the head. I don't get that. You should treat everybody that way. But what I found is no matter how much you dislike it, at some point conflict always comes in life. It happens. It's unavoidable. I know we want to try to avoid it, but I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes the greatest leaps forward are made because somebody was willing to be in a moment of being conflicted and to step forward. Michelle, would you come? I'm going to close. I'm grateful that we've had to push through some difficult moments, but we have to be determined that we're going to please God, and then we have to keep going. Then you keep going. Then persistence kicks in. The call for perseverance and persistence. Practice makes perfect, and endurance pays off, but you cannot give up on doing what God says. Amen? God has a invitation out to every single one of us, for each of us who desires to be effective in his things and efficient in his things. You know, James 1:5, which is, we don't have the scripture, and but it's one of the best scriptures in the Bible. And it says that anybody who needs wisdom, let him ask of God, and he gives it. And the word says liberally, freely. That when we ask wisdom from God, that he doesn't just partition it out in small doses. It says that God pours his wisdom upon us. Because he wants us to be effective. He wants us to be successful for his things. He wants us to do well. You understand that God is not a hindrance to your progress. As a matter of fact, nobody wants you to win more than he does. So when it comes time to clear the ground of the new territory, when we come into his presence, if you don't know, just ask. And God will not withhold anything from you. He will give you everything you need for the moment he's called you to. He gives it generously, liberally. Aren't you glad that we serve a generous God? God's wisdom, I find in life, is usually very practical. I think God is understood that he placed us in a practical world. And I believe it's us that makes everything so spiritualized and lofty. I think it's human nature to make the things of God seem almost unattainable. But I think what God is saying, no, I came so that you may have effect, and it's practical. The word, if applied correctly, is so practical, you won't believe it. And it's wisdom to do it. God's wisdom is practical wisdom, and it expresses itself in skill, doing things well and doing them right according to his purpose brings territory-taking success. Amen? So my question for you today is, who needs wisdom? Who needs wisdom today? For whatever complexity of life that you're facing, who needs faith today? Who needs perseverance? Who needs his practical wisdom? Who needs to just take a moment in this moment to pause and to allow God to inspect your heart and to sharpen the edge just a little bit so that he can use your life, sharpened by his wisdom, to be effective for his purposes, effective to make a difference in the lives of the people to whom he's called you. I don't know about you, but that's me. Let's all stand.